on the plains of Kerala. This is one way to remember and to mark that day. That's what people in central Rania city of Yazd are doing. As our guests and experts mentioned, that's exactly the time when, after Imam Hussein, the chief martyrdom, and all his the other 72 of his followers who were among his next of kin or his followers, that's when they were all killed and their bodies were laid there on the battleground, beheaded. And this is exactly the time when the army standing against the Imam attacked the remaining his household, the children, his ailing brother, Imam Sajjad, sister, Lady Zainab, and all the children who were just staying there in those tents. Then they set fire to those tents. And that's the enactment of that day, exactly maybe an hour or so after the heroes in that Kerbala epoch achieved martyrdom. And this is going. This has been done traditionally in not only Yazd and different parts of the other parts of Iran and other cities, and also elsewhere in the world, as our also religious commentators told us, even in Nigeria, in Africa, elsewhere. I wonder if it is done in London. I'm gonna go cross over to London to Mohsen Abbas and ask him if we have similar Tazi or Passion plays done in London, or if we have the similar campaign that Mr. Hussein al-Musa from Beirut told us to spread out the true word of Islam.
Well, there are theatre companies. For instance, I can name Ridayatullah Theatre, which is a very specifically Imam Hussein-focused company. Young Junior Theatre production company. Only last two or three years they've been in production, but they've been doing some very good amateur theatre work, and they're developing. You've also got a slightly older theatre company, Hayal Theatre Company, a very good friend of mine who studied in Qom, and is essentially also Sheikh Luqman Ali. He's been struggling for a very long time in trying to project these kind of messages, but they're all facing problems. I mean, at the moment, I think, number one, Muslims settled in the West should have really picked up on this idea of a cultural expression of Husseiniyyah for Western audiences by now. We've been here 50, 60 years. I would expect more investment, more funding, more forward thinking, not only from the institutions, but also, you know, the community at large. But at the moment, the trouble is, it seems that most of them are locked in the old traditional ways, going to majalis, long sermons, and keeping the message internally. I think only now beginning, some of the youngsters are beginning to wake up to the idea that they want to pass this message on further. But the truth of the matter is that you've got many of these realities which need to be developed by young people. So it's up and coming, but a lot of work needs to be done on it. Yeah.
Okay, let's see some of those live images that we are receiving from across the country.
میزبان از دفل شیر خاره هم تشنه از این کوده کشش ماه هم ناگه آن فریاده بن سده لئین ناگه آن فریاده بن سده لئین کرمل آماده شب از راه کیمی کرمل آماده شب از راه کیمی این سفیدی گلوی از غیرم از این سفیدی گلوی از غیرم جای گاه تیر تو ای کافر است می شود قلب حسین آتش فشان گر تو گیری حلقه از غران شاه تیر زد بر حلقه نازک تر زگل تیر رسد بر حلق نازک در چگار چون که آتش شد برون از زیر خوار تیر زد بر حلق نازک در زنگار چون که آتش شد برون از زیر خوار شونه بر شد خلب مولایم حسین تا که دید او این جفا را نور شونه بر شد خلب مولایم حسین تا که دید او این جفا را نور از غراف شان در آسمان خونه از غراف شان در آسمان رو به اخ کرد و به گفت تا این زمان خونه از غراف شان بر آسمان در خونداغ نوبت لالایی آخر رسید نوبت لالایی اصغر رسید لحظه دل کندن مادر رسید خوان لالایی رو باب دل عظیم خوان لالایی رو باب دل عظیم خون بارین چشم عرش و هم زمین ساله می شر غم طفل حسین ساله می شر غم طفل حسین می زند آتش به جان عالم بس نیما دیگر تو این غم نامه را بس نیما دیگر تو این غم نامه را رب شفی اتساز دین شش ماه را
صوت قرآن غریبی دشت را پر کرده بود صوت قرآن غریبی دشت را پر کرده بود بر فراز نیزه می بردند قربانزاده را دست و پای عشق را بستند بر روی شتر دست و پای عشق را بستند بر روی شتر تا نبندد قامت بیمار او سجاده را دور می کردند از دامان پرمهر پدر دختران خردسال دل به بابا داده را کاروان گامی مرو گویا کسی جا مانده است کاروان گامی مرو گویا کسی جا مانده است ساروان سیلی مزن این کودک افتاده را ساروان سیلی مزن این کودک افتاده را.
Live images from the Iranian city of Yazd going on with those special religious ceremonies marking the Ashura. Now let's cross over to London. We have another religious commentator, Riyaz Karim. Thank you for joining us here on this rolling special coverage on Press TV. Riyaz Karim, let us have your comments on this very special day of Ashura.
I think there is one thing that is very, very important that the public and the viewers need to know, because Press TV is such a format that Muslims and non-Muslims alike do love to watch because of its coverage. And there are a lot of non-Muslims, especially in our part of the world, who do not understand the symbolism behind Ashura. They don't know why all this suffering is created. They don't know why they end up calling it fanaticism. They end up calling it so many different names, but they do not understand the symbolism behind it. And I think it is very important that we share that symbolism with them, so they are able to understand what it means. On the 10th day of Ashura, exactly what it means when you can actually see people mourning. There is blood, there is tears, there is sorrow, there is everything that you can think of, but they can't understand why it happened so.
Okay, what should we do, Riyaz Karim, in order to help them understand this the way that they should?
Yeah, I think the first thing they need to understand very, very clearly is that when you see those tears and that sorrow, there are two different facets of it. Number one is that because of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, Islam is alive. Had he not given his life, we can sit here and make so many different judgments as to what would have happened after that, and in some instances we can actually see what would have happened after that. But because of how he gave his life for righteousness, is that we are here. And the second thing is that when you see all that blood. Tears and sorrow and the suffering, this is to emulate the suffering which was endured by Imam Hussein during the Battle of Karbala, where he was standing alone with 72 men in front of an army of 10,000, and he fought them to the last drop of blood.
That's right.
This is the suffering that they need to understand. These are 72 men who gave their life in order for us to be where we are today. And I think the Christian community also needs to understand this exact thing. They believe Jesus Christ gave his life so they could be saved. I think we can make a fair comparison that Imam Hussein did give his life so we could be saved. So we are here, so Islam is alive. And so people need to understand that suffering, that blood, the sorrow, the tears that you see out in the street is because they emulate, they try to replicate what Imam Hussein and his followers felt that particular day when they were all martyred. I think that is very important that everybody understands that. Then you can know the symbolism behind Ashura, because we can talk about Ashura, but until and unless we can educate people as to what happened and how and why it is happening the way it is happening, people will not be able to understand.
Exactly. And our previous guest, Riyadh, told us about there are some campaigns going on in London now, and also some theatrical plays like Tazi that we have in Iran and elsewhere in the world in order to promote this and keep this alive. What else of similar campaigns do you know of in London?
They are not only campaigns in London, but they are campaigns in other parts of the UK as well, ongoing right now, because mm-hmm. this is a very, very, very significant event that is happening, and people are mourning. They are watching Press TV, they're watching Karbala TV, and they are praying with the rest of the world, and that seems to be the trend from day one. You know, when people go for majalises, some of them actually do their majalises at home while watching the majalis as it happens in Karbala. And so, you know, the community is very much involved in this, and if you look at the community that actually came out in the U.S. 2 days ago, I believe, and that was in Michigan, that was a surefire show of what Ashura is all about, what Imam Hussein is all about, because there were 4,000 people who marched and emulated the suffering of Imam Hussein in the streets of Michigan. And I think this is actually happening around the world, and this trend should continue so people do understand what real Islam actually means.
Okay, Riyadh Karim, I'm taking over from our previous anchor in order to continue with you and have your thoughts on this very important day. Basically, my angle with you right from the get-go is going to be the way that the outside world views not only Islam, these rituals, and in turn Islam. And the reason why I'm coming in at that angle is because there is a polarization that has erupted following Trump's election, the U.S. president's, which in a sense has also been gripping Europe. And I'm wondering how people in general are being misguided in the way that they're perhaps viewing Islam based on the way that, for example, immigrants are being dealt with. Because this is something that is a religion of peace. And of course, all the significance that goes behind some of its most important events, like the ones that we've been witnessing for the past 2 days, is reflective of that, but I'm not too sure if the world understands it that way.
Well, you know, the world actually needs to understand that that Islam was hijacked in order to create these wars. They had to blame it on someone, and at that time, when you have company, when you have countries like Israel and Saudi Arabia on your side, who do you go to? You go to a Shia, and basically use him as a crutch, or use Shiism as a crutch in order to spread violence, and then blame it on them. You know, it is very similar to what Hitler said: tell a lie, make it big, tell it often, and people will believe it. Now, when you're talking about President Trump and how he has polarized America and subsequently the world, that was his job to do, because we have to understand that you know, America is pretty much controlled by Israel in so many different ways, and so whatever they do or say goes, and you know, we have been taking the stick for it for a very long time, and I think we continue to do so, because even yesterday, you know, not to go off the subject of Ashura at all, but even yesterday, the downing of the aircraft, of the Russian aircraft by Israeli military, seems to be blamed on Hezbollah and Iran. Now, I don't know how those two are connected. I don't know where they're connected, but somehow they found a connection to do it. And so this is not going to stop. The only thing that we need to do is we need to keep educating people that what you're seeing out there, the narrative that has been hijacked by these countries, is pure propaganda. And we have to show them the true face of Islam. The true face of Islam happens when events like this occur. You know, and when you look at Arba'in is a window to a peaceful world where that is how Muslims are. That is how they live. You know, the coverage on Arba'in is completely basically zero to none. And we have been shouting this from the rooftops right now to try and educate people that when you talk about Islam, look at this. This is what Islam actually is. It's a religion of peace, you know, and we believe in justice, but it is still a religion of peace. Now, when you are in your house and somebody comes and puts your back onto the wall, you're of course going to come fighting back, because you're a sovereign country. And that is taken as retaliation towards a peaceful world. And I think they have got everything that they possibly could completely wrong. And it is, and I think it is our job to educate them and put this out in front of the world, that when you're talking about Islam and you're talking about real Islam, you need to look at Ashura, you need to look at Arba'in. That's when you're going to find out the true face of Islam. And regardless of what President Trump or anybody else says, what it is what it is. And if it is brought in front of the world, it can change minds. But we need to make too much, too big of a noise.
Well, isn't it ironic that the U.S. president in America, in turn, in a sense, they're pushing back against people coming inside their country, but yet they are in this region. And when I say the U.S., of course, some of its allies are also participants of how the region is being divided through the actions of this group. Or alliance, if you want to call it. But yet they don't want people coming into their country. If they left the region alone, do you think that Islam would prevail more, would be more successful in its representation because at this point their presence is part of the problem, not part of the solution.
No, and it's never going to be part of the solution. It is never going to be part of the solution. We have to take that into account, because if they left Islam alone, and if they, you know, first of all, they have no business being there, you know, except countries like Saudi Arabia, who basically want to buy arms and want to spread their Wahhabism everywhere and anywhere they possibly can, would do that. Because don't forget that when we're talking about the Shura, we're talking about two sides. There was Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and then there was the story of Yazid as well. He was a Muslim as well. And so, you know, we have two sides. Let us deal with it. Don't come into our countries and tell us what to do. That is, you hit the nail on the head when you say that you actually think that if they left us alone, we would be able to take care of our own affairs. Listen, we are not only, we are not only Muslim countries. We're not stupid. We're educated people. When you look at, our leadership, they're highly educated people. They know what they're doing. But in spite of that, the pressures that come from abroad are so powerful that they overpower us, and in some respects I think we have been complacent as well until it got so bad. But the truth is that he doesn't want Muslims in his countries, not because Muslims are bad people, because they're starting to believe their own narrative. That is the problem. You know, when you start telling a lie and you tell it often and people start believing it, you start believing it as well. You know, when you look at the statistics, Americans have killed Americans, 200 times more than any Muslim has. So what is that all about? You know, these people are actually starting to believe their own narrative, and that is where the danger comes in. You know, let's keep the Muslims out of our country. We don't want any of that, but we have the right to go and kill them wherever they are. Now, how does that work? So I think you are absolutely correct in saying what you say, because, you know, it has to be a give and take. Every coin has two sides. You cannot spend a coin on one side and not spend it on the other. So that is how it actually sits right now.
Part of the message that these important days brings to the world is to stand up to oppression, and how that could be resisted against oppression. And of course, based on the way that this region is being somewhat exploited, and divisive issues are being presented in a sense in a false way, but to create these divisions between different sects in Islam, the U.S. and the West. Some countries in the West are taking advantage of this. What can be done in order to thwart these this offensive that has created divisions in the region?
I think Muslim countries that have been victims of this entire fiasco, they actually need to come together and start a media narrative and put some money into it and get the ball rolling to counter what is being happening out there, because these people are having a free reign. You know, when you're having a free reign and nothing is going to counter you, you're going to say whatever you want to say and people will believe you regardless. But if we start fighting back with our own narrative and the reality and the truth about the region and about the religion and what it stands for, we have the chance to break their propaganda down into little pieces and put our story in front of the people. But we need to do that. I think we needed to do that a long time ago. But you know what they say is, if you've forgotten where your house is and in the morning you end up coming home, you are not a forgotten man. and that needs to happen, and it needs to happen now, so we can counter this propaganda that is spreading so much hatred and lies about Islam, because we are not what they make us out to be. And events like these are the ones that actually tell you the whole story. This is the event that should be taken advantage of. This is because of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that we're standing here today. Had he not been out there with his 72 followers and fought an entire army and gave his last drop of blood, we wouldn't be talking this story. So I think it is absolutely important that we need to do this, and we need to do this now.
The anti-Muslim or Islamophobia has been going on for quite some time. You would say maybe at some points there were some breakthroughs in terms of the anti-Islam sentiment not to even be a point of discussion. But it has been rising, and every country has, in one sense or another, either seen an increase or maybe even a decrease. But more in the Western countries, it's been on the rise. There needs to be some kind of education to be done. Where and how can that be done? Because if it's not happening from within that country, Muslims need to somehow converge and through some medium be able to educate the world about this religion that means so much.
Absolutely. You absolutely are correct in saying what you just said. That is exactly what I've been shouting from the rooftops from the get-go, is that, listen, we have the money, we have the ability, we have the people who can do this, and yet we are not doing it. You know, we can counter this to counter their narrative, because they've hijacked everything that is possibly Islam and made it look so bad that we actually need to counter it and bring our story to the people. And that is what we need to do. We need to converge, and we need to go out there and tell our story. And we have to do it in a large scale. If we have Press TV, we have so many Muslim stations who could actually join hands, and so many governments who could put money out there and make it counter these guys. I think we stand a very good chance of breaking their narrative down, but we're not still doing it. You know, when you have just Press TV and a couple other stations shouting from the rooftops and telling the story the way it is, it's just not enough. We need to do more.
Of course, this all comes in the midst of what we are experiencing in this region, which, by the grace of God, there has been success in eradicating these Daesh terrorists, which were spreading their ideology throughout the world. But it's quite ironic that you have the West, in particular the U.S., demonize a country like Iran, saying that Iran is spreading terrorism when it's fighting terrorism. But when we want to take a look at the significance of this Tasawwuh Ashura, upon the messages that it sends, we need to somehow make sure that the channels are there for this to be understood. But maybe that is something perhaps the West does not want to completely have their population immersed in, because of the strength. After all, the number of Muslims in the world is in the billions.
Yeah, that is exactly true. They will not want to have those people out there. But you know what? We have enough pool within us to bring those people in. Because I attended Arbaeen last year, and for the first time, Arbaeen, we had an amazing article in Newsweek. And we had brought journalists from all over the world, albeit there were only so many places, but they did write articles that changed quite a bit of quite many minds out there in the West. And this needs to be done in a very large scale. Because when you tell a reporter that, you know, we want you to come and cover this, and we're going to pay for you, just come and see what real Islam is all about, I don't think they would say no. I don't think they would say no, because it is a significant event and it is starting to gain momentum, and it is in their interest to cover that story now. Because, you know, there are some media outlets or news outlets that are for Donald Trump, but you have quite a few that are against him. And those are the ones that you need to target and bring home so they can see what real Islam is about, what their faith is, why do they have, what is the symbolism behind Ashura, what is Arba'een. They need to know the story of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. They need to know the story of how his little baby was sacrificed. You know, they need to know the story of Hazrat Abbas, alayhi salam. These stories are our lives. You know, we stand tall today because of these stories, because of their sacrifices, and. I think we owe it to ourselves to tell those stories to the world loud and clear.
Thank you very much for that. We're going to unfortunately have to end it here, Riaz Karim. We appreciate your comments. Religious commentator there talking to us from London. And we're going to leave you with these beautiful images that are coming through from different cities all across Iran with the Muslims around this country, Islamic Republic. We're commemorating the anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. Until our news in a few minutes' time, do stay with us.
Olub dinay zasin ala canam burur canam burur olub far far toprak usta bir gül sayogin güle pomaleyle yübdi atlara yogin ahurgani lakhda lakhda yarasinan dolu bağzı zikret Ali labet şan labet eller göğde sen can hüseflaş yerinden Ali kalkmur okları çeksin pekerinden yar Ali eller göğde hüseflaş Hüseyin can Yar Ali
Yar Ali
Yarat şan
Yarat
şan Hüseyin can Hüseyin can İki erde ateşle Yar Ali Lebet şan Hüseyin Şahidan Hüseyin'an Şikleri Şiş kuşa kabre kurban Biz gamrahtin soymaruk Kerbela'dan Kerbela'dan doymaruk
Düzbəli bu illər əli çatmayıb və onlar ki görməyiblər, aşıqdılar. Burdan neynə zəvvar olağanın qəbrinə? Kərbəla, Kərbəla din. Kerbela, Kerbela,
Kerbela.
Headlines, millions across the world commemorate.